That's a great start. Yeah? Suggest. Yeah? Oh, before they became Rishai and they started out that way. Excellent. Never heard that approach. Scott, yeah. Excellent. Wow, that's a great group. They're empty compared to everyone else. Yeah. Okay, so this is where I want to start with tonight. I want to share two answers, and then I want to share how we can access these answers and share with you this gift for the next. Answer number one is from a sefer called Bilvavi Mishkan Evneh. You've heard of the sefer? Okay, give you. He quotes from Gavi Porovsky, who gives the following. He says, if you take a look at a pomegranate, and you compare it with, let's say, an apple or a pear. An apple and pear, where are the seeds of these fruits? Where are they? In the middle. I once had a student who ate the entire apple. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I'm still traumatized by it. Doesn't matter. You'll think about that one. Generally, we don't eat the core. Do you know what I mean about that? It's not so appealing. The pear or the apple, the seeds are in the middle. The pomegranate, each seed is in its own sack. Each seed is its own individual place. Says Bilvavi Mishkan Evneh the following. A person can be filled with mitzvot, but they're filled with mitzvot, Chazal say, not like an apple, but like a pomegranate. And that imagery is what's so important. Because a pomegranate, each and every seed stands by itself. If it had used the imagery of an apple, then there's a core. Let me put that in English. The problem with the Rishayim and the problem with many people is that we do a mitzvah. Let's say I give stucco, and then I dab it, and then I help somebody else out, but I don't feel when I do these mitzvahs any connection to whom? Hashem. Could we hear that? I'm going to suggest, and you may disagree with me, and that's okay. Most people, when they daven, never even think about, fill in my sentence, Hashem. They don't think about God. How many of you can hear that statement? Only, you don't agree. I'm so happy you don't agree. How fun that more people were standing with where you're at. You know what they say? There's a joke that you should say Tfilas Aderech, the prayer for traveling, before you start Shmona Esrei. Do you know why? Your mind wanders far away distances.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah, what? I would even suggest that if I were to laser beam into your brains at the bracha of Tzemach Dovid, I'm going to argue that 99.9% of the individuals sitting here are not thinking about at Tzemach Dovid. You hear what I'm saying? What are you thinking about? Your day activity, your night activity, your conversation with your friends. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you may be thinking, there is a bracha pool that's not up to me. That's the problem! We're filled with mitzvahs, we're dominating, we're getting stuck up, we're saying brachos. But the ikar chaser min ha-sefer, we're So that's one pshat.
How can they be filled and empty?
They're filled with mitzvos. In what way are they empty? They're empty how? Spiritually.
They're empty that they're going through the motion, but they don't feel any spiritual connection to Judaism.
Could you appreciate that reality? Somebody? Yeah? It's like when I used to teach in Yula. Any Yula girls here?
L.A. No L.A.ers?
Yay! And I have students say to me, Chumash is boring. I would say to them, Chumash isn't boring. You're boring. You get the problem? Yes, you sit there and say, I don't care about this. You're right, it's boring.
But if you can feel connected.
Wow! The problem, this is the first approach,
is we can be filled and doing mitzvahs all day, but emotionally and spiritually,
we feel depleted, we feel empty. It doesn't give us a, give me the word?
Meaning, fulfillment,
connection, relationship. You got the picture.
What was the word I used to?
Yeah, none.
I'll just show you a cute story before moving to the second level.
Baruch Hashem, we've been married to Israel 14 years, first Nefesh for Nefesh flight. And I remember when we moved here, we have a garden and we planted a pomegranate tree. Any of you ever seen a pomegranate tree? It's a gorgeous tree with these red flowers that blossom. We planted a pomegranate tree that was a few years old. And I remember that when the first pomegranates came out, my oldest was around, at the time, five and a half. She came running in. She said, Ima, you have to see there are pomegranates on the tree. It's exciting for kids. You know what I mean? And then she asked me the following question. She said, Ima, should we put a red string on the pomegranates in case the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, is built? And we will know which are the first pomegranates to bring as the first fruit to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I'm sure most of you think along those lines, right?
I don't. Are you on the same phone as me? Yes.
Second approach. Rav Wolpin gives another answer. And he said, when we say that the Rishoyim are filled, the wicked ones are filled with mitzvos, like a pomegranate, we have to define what type of mitzvos are they filled with. And he says they're filled with what he calls mitzvos kalos, easy mitzvos. What's an easy mitzvah? So this is his definition. An easy mitzvah is a mitzvah that doesn't take chisaron kis. Doesn't cost you anything. And we're not only talking about monetarily, we're talking about in all aspects of self. Let's put that in English. These people are involved in mitzvahs that I would call, not in language, my language, no-brainer mitzvahs. Mitzvahs I don't have to think about, mitzvahs I don't have to invest in. But any mitzvah that's going to take me, and going to take thinking, and going to take investment of self, they don't do that. They're filled! But at the same time, although they're filled, they're so long, empty. What are they missing? They're missing the component called self. Let me try to explain this for a minute. There's a gewaltig piece in Rav Dessler and Michtam Eliyahu, where he speaks about that everyone gets a reward for whatever. about it. But let's say I didn't learn about Lashon Hara. And I struggle. Who should I say? Should I not? Should I say? Should I not? Should I say? Should I not? Oh, okay, I won't say it. At that moment, who gets the credit? I. Why? Because I had to put what in it? Me. And this is an example to give, based on the Sabbath selection. It says, by a squirrel he met Lot, Hashem remembered Lot, and he took him out of stone. What was the great mitzvah that Lot did that he deserved to be saved? So what's the answer? What was the great mitzvah that Lot did? Right, he brought in the guest. That's what I would have said. That's what the normal answer is. No, says Rashi. Vayitzkor Elohim et Lot. What was the great thing? Years earlier, when Adam and Sarah were in Egypt, Lot didn't tell on his sister, Sarah, that they were husband and wife. Huh? He doesn't tell on his sister? That's the great merit? But to bring in these angels at the risk of his life, that wasn't great? Says the Sabbal Sabbatka, I want us to listen. Lot grew up under Avram Avinu. To take in guests for him was a no-brainer mitzvah. He was trained that way. But Lot had one Achilles heel, one challenge, and that was something in your country, it's green. And that, my friends, is what? In our country, some of them are green. It's money. He could have cashed it big. He had a great secret. Man, he could have made money from Paro. And he struggled. Do I tell? Do I not tell? Do I make money? Do I not? Overcoming struggle, putting yourself into something, that's greatness. And I have a little secret to tell you, my friends. And again, you may disagree, particularly this young lady here, who's doing great. Most of our Yiddishkeit experience, we do on automatic pilot. How many of you understand what I mean by that? Great. Any of you drive here? Are you too young to drive? Oh, we have a couple of drivers here. Okay. Any of you ever been into a car? Right. I'm happy to hear that. Here it goes. Any of you know what filing hypnosis is?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah,
so tell me, what is filing hypnosis?
It's really for like something wild, like the world to say things start spacing out when you're in like a hypnotic state, a sound state where like
very good. Highway hypnosis means you just go. And I will tell you, my friends, if you drive to school every morning and you're going on an errand on the way to school, but it's a different turn, 9 times out of 10, where would you land up? In school. Why? Because you're not what? Thinking. And for those of you who drive, 9 times out of 10, you land up at home and you say to yourself, how did I get here? Where was I? Okay, so I grant you it's a little bit dangerous, but most of us drive on highway hypnosis. But the problem isn't us driving, you know what the problem is? We want! We what? Wake up in the morning, blah, 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 blah. I'm supposed to pick up a sit of dot, 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 put it down, dot, dot. Oh, I'm supposed to eat some bread, okay, I'll wash. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking it easy. You don't have to answer this question, but if you're going to be honest, answer it. How many of you have ever had an experience where you finish benching and ask yourself, did I bench? Any of you ever had that experience? Honestly, look at many hands, look around you. See, no one's embarrassed to say that. Now, my friend, I didn't ask you for any push-ups. For any push-ups is bed 783. Bed shame, you got to turn a page. You got to flip a car. Where were you? How do you not know whether you bench? Hello! I'll tell you what. You weren't having your nose. Finish. Now, here's the problem. I want to make sure we understand the problem. If we live our lives and highway hypnosis. We live our lives that each mitzvah is separate, but we don't feel connected. We don't feel alive. That I can go through 120 years as a religious Orthodox Jewish woman and never feel connected, spiritual, or in a state of movement and growth. Can you hear the problem? Is anyone concerned about this issue? If not, I'll walk home right now. I mean, I have kinesiology, high witness. No one's bothered by it. I'm out of here. You want an answer? Maybe. So let me suggest one answer. It's an answer that is very, very in modern psychology. And let me introduce this answer. I've stated the problem. We got the problem. The problem is, how do you get out of living highway hypnosis? And here is the answer. Here's the gift that I offer for tonight. Very interesting Rashi. Rashi talks about Medrash, that when Hashem created the world, he told the trees to have the bark of the tree taste like the fruit of the tree. Now what happened? What happened? Someone tell me what happened. What happened? Any of you ever tasted bark recently? No. If you did, you've been barking up the wrong tree. That wasn't so appealing. The trees were the first environmentalists. They said, oh my gosh, if the bark is going to taste like the fruit, then what's going to happen to all the trees? They're going to what? Yeah, they're going to disappear. So the tree disobeyed. How does the tree disobey? It's a separate discussion after tonight. And the tree, the bark tastes like bark, and the fruit tastes like fruit. Good. What does this medrash mean? Medrash has to be understood. It's teaching us a lesson. This medrash is one of our fundamental ideas for life. There's a fundamental argument going on here between the tree and Hashem. It's an argument that we face all the time. Now, let me give you an example of what it's about. Any of you 12th graders here? A couple of 12th graders. Okay. So I'm going to use a 12th grader in the album. What school are you in? She lived there in Washington. I was a student who teaches there. You know what I'm talking about? The Chava Zakim? Zakim?
No, no, Zakim?
Yeah.
She's my teacher.
Yeah, she's pretty. Anyway, go to Chanel. You going to the following year? You know where yet? Really? Penina is now in March time. Penina is sitting in calculus. You take calculus? You want to take calculus? I feel for you. Penina's in calculus. It's March. It is pretty boring. Calculus is boring. Let's pull this. That's an art, right? She's sitting in calculus, and all of these equations are flying around her, and she decides to look outside the window. Any of you ever look outside the window in class? Yeah, of course, all of you do! You know, I'll just say this parenthetically, it's nothing to do with anything. When I used to teach many moons ago in America, I used to hang things from the ceiling because I knew that people were dangerous. At least let them learn something when they daydream. And I also know that the best place to put any information is by the clock. Because where do people spend most of their time looking? At the clock. You know what I mean? Okay, doesn't matter.
I'm not giving you tips for the teacher trait.
So Penina's sitting
large in looking out the at space gap, and she starts thinking, "Oh my, soon it's going to be the summer. You know, I have to start packing. I hope to get her to Israel. What should I pack? What should I guard? Who else is coming with me? Oh my, oh, there she is. She's already spacing out on the plane. Yeah, meeting all these new people. Amazing. All these New Yorkers. Oh, forget the New Yorkers. The out-of-towners. Yay. And there she is, already in Dar Shevina, smile flat, Mirza Hashem, learning away. And there she is, having a tiul, having a great time. This is the most amazing calculus class she's ever had. And there you go. She's already thinking about, after the year in Israel, where is she going to go to college? And there she is sitting in college. And you know what? Now she's dreaming about dating. And you know, she finds the best thing about the This is amazing. She's walking down the aisle. Calculus is going on. And where is she? She's down the aisle. And before you know it, he is so cute. He's here. He's adorable. Wow. And now, he's already very beautiful. Gosh, where did the time? And now, I'm doing fast forward here because I'm running late. And now, I'm walking him down to the chuppah. Oh, his cow is so pretty. And now, I'm holding my grandson. Oh, unbelievable. Now, where is Penina this whole time? In Silver Spring, Maryland. Where is her brain? Rocking a grandchild with lemonade, you know, many years down the road. The reality is, now let's get back to the reality, most of us are not living in the here and now. Our minds are where? In the future. What is going to be? What will be after that? The tree philosophy is we don't focus in on the bark. We don't focus in on the process. Our focus is really on the result. We're focusing on where we're going to land and where is that going to land me? And if I do this, what's the effect? And if I do that, where will that land me? My whole focus is future oriented. Hashem said to the tree, "You missed the boat. Why did I want the bark of the tree to taste like the fruit of the tree? Because I wanted you to focus in not just on end result, but on process. I want you to focus in on how you get to the end result. That every step, every moment counts as well." Any of you know what they call this in modern day psychology? Begins with an M. What'd you say? Mindfulness. Very good. Are you a psych major? No. But you know about mindfulness. Mindfulness means that I'm living right now in the present moment. So let me explain to you what this means in simple English. You're on the phone with a friend, and you're typing an email. And your friend says to you, "Are you with me?" And what do you say? "Yeah." Could you just repeat the last thing you said? Can we do more than one thing at a time? The answer is what? We're both saying it's the most important question anyone will ever ask you in your entire life. Listen closely. Can we do more than anything, two things at the same time? The answer is? The correct answer is?
Yes.
The answer is we fool ourselves in thinking we can, but unless you're the Rambam who could write a tshuva with his right hand and his left hand at the same time, unless you're somebody on the Rebbe Chavar level, then the answer is no. The idea of multitasking is a myth. It's a misnomer, 100%. When you're talking to your friend and you are texting or emailing, you are either focused in on one or the other. Here is the gift for the night. And I want to talk about it briefly in your general life and in spiritual matters. To try once a day. Once a day. To focus completely on that which you are doing. So let me give you an example. Oftentimes, I see that girls are talking to their friends, and at the same time, what are they doing?
On the phone.
On the phone, or they are texting. Do you know what I mean? Now, you guys don't even think twice because you think that's normal. That's not normal. When you're talking to somebody, I don't know if anyone ever taught you this in younger ages, what should you do when you talk to somebody? Look at them. You know this. Ah, I'm going to do this. Ah. So could you imagine once a day? It might scare your friends because they've never seen anything like this. But once a day, when somebody starts talking to you, what should you do? Look at everything you're doing and actually what? Listen, eye contact. And you start to focus. You know that listen is the same letters as sight. Because I'm actually listening to what they're saying. And I have a little secret to tell you, and this is my gift. Your relationships with people will improve drastically when you show them that you are. Give me the word with a C. You care. Because that's what people want. And here we call it, my kids call it sumi. Sumale. Attention. You know, people want that more than anything else. They crave that somebody should recognize them, acknowledge them. Realize that they exist. Once a day. Doesn't matter what you're doing. But actually focus and be aware of what you're doing. And now I want to talk about it once a day on a spiritual level. Let's take a look at a clock. Use your imagination, my friends. I'm holding my hand in apple. What type of apple? Red apple. What type of apple? Macintosh. Macintoshes are red? Now they are. I'm holding my hand to Macintosh apple. Ready? Ever watching? I say to myself, wow, gosh, this apple is a special apple. Do you know that when Hashem created the world, he knew that the original apple tree was going to have many, 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 many trees down the road? And that one day, there was going to be an apple, and it was going to go on a tree, and that Hashem knew that this apple was going to land by me. And when the farmer picked this apple from the tree, Hashem is watching over this apple, that when it lands in the store, and there are all these apples in the fruit and vegetable store, the apple that my mother or I go and pick, this apple was meant for me. This isn't just any apple. This apple has such a stuff of protein in it. This apple, I'm almost afraid to eat it. It shows so much love that Hashem has for me. That this is a love, a connection, and that beautiful apple. Just look at it. It's a demonstration of Hashem's love for me. The bracha on this apple is going to be what? Dramatically different. Because it's an apple where you see connection. You know, I'll just share with you. What time is it? Who's running the show here? I have 4 more minutes, 5 more minutes? Two more minutes, I'm out of here. I'm over time. Tell me where I'm at. 5 minutes? I can do it. I'll share with you a story. You may use this story 10 years down the road, so keep it in the rear. You back me up. Ready? Here it goes. I'm in Miami Beach. Any Miami girls here? A couple of Miami. More Miami. My mother-in-law lives in California. We're in Miami Beach. We're in her parking lot, in her garage. And I have a 3-year-old daughter who refuses to go into her car seat. Now, when you have a daughter who has a mind of her own and mother-in-law is sitting there, if you can't get that kid into the car seat, you look like a what? A bad mom. Do you know what I mean?
Mom.
Now, who wins usually between mom and a 3-year-old? The answer is? Good, glad you know that one. That answer you knew. So I turned to my daughter and I said, I want to tell you a story about banana split. Her name is Chana, we call her Chana La Bananala. So this is a story about banana split. And I'm just going to tell you the highlights of the story. I told her that there was this car seat called banana split that was sitting in this whatever store was. And it knew that it was supposed to be for a 3-year-old girl named Chana. And every time someone came into the store, it would say to the person who wanted to take the box. Do you have a little girl? Yes. How old is she? 2? Sorry, you're not for me. Please take another box. 3, is it a boy or a girl? Boy, sorry, wrong one. And finally, I began to put avocados in the store. And banana split is getting very sad. I think it's going to be here forever. And Abba says, I'd like to take you. Do you have a daughter? Yes. Is she 3? Yes. Is her name Connie? Oh, I'm so excited. This is the one I'm waiting for. And at that point, I said, can you imagine? Banana Split was waiting for you. I can't wait for you to see it in our feet. And you know what happened? She got into the car seat without what? Saying a word with pride. Banana Split belongs to me. And I want you to know, she's now much older. She tells this story to the girls she babysits for when they don't want to do something. Let me tell you about Banana Split. You know what Banana Split is really about? You know what this apple is really about? It's about that there's nothing random in this world. That Hashem is watching over every single thing in this world. And I'll just add you one more story, and then I'm going on to wrap up. I remember when my older daughter and I was at Mitzvah, we were sitting by the Kotel. It was Friday night. We wanted to be there for Shabbat. And my younger daughter at that time was 8, who's Kamala. And I said to the girls, I can't believe who would have thought, we used to live in L.A., that 12 years ago, who would have thought that we would have been in Eretz Yisrael tonight celebrating a bat mitzvah? And Chanula turns to me and says, Ima, that's really not correct. I said, what do you mean? She says, Hashem knew at Brias HaOlam that we were going to be sitting here tonight and it's all planned for the right thing. Is she right? It's looking at the larger picture that nothing is by accident. When I do a mitzvah and I understand that Hashem is invested in me, but it is lit, the apple, the hotel, he cares about me. Once a day, to do a mitzvah and say, Hashem, I want to do this mitzvah to connect with you. And in fact, the halacha says that when you do a mitzvah, particularly a bracha, you're not allowed to do anything else. You can't clean up the table when you're benching. You can't gather your books when you're saying Asher Yetzer. If you stand in one place and do nothing else, once a day at least, but say that bracha. And before you say it, you say to yourself, Hashem, I'm talking to you. You who love me, I who love you, I who want to connect with you, I'm going to say this bracha slowly and feel that connection. And that's the gift that I want to leave us with tonight, my friends, to try once a day in your interpersonal relationship with mom, with dad, with a brother, sister, or friend, and once a day with God, say a bracha, do a mitzvah, don't be distracted. Focus entirely. You'll see. You'll be a different person. And I'd like to end with a thought that Siva Shalom brings from the Maharani Kukrit, who asks, what's the most important mitzvah of the 613 mitzvahs? So you would say, Torah and Muna, Shabbos. You know what he answers, the Maharani Kukrit? Whatever mitzvah comes your way is the most important mitzvah to do. And that's the attitude we have to have. Whatever mitzvah comes my way, and because I know, Hashem, this mitzvah is a gift from you. The more we're conscious of this, the more we tap into this, the more we will move away from being the empty ones and feel a spiritual connection to Hashem. Okay.